Well, tomorrow is Pentecost, as all of you probably know. So what I thought I would do today is speak about the Holy Spirit. As we know, Pentecost is the anniversary of the coming of the Holy Spirit down to mankind, that famous Pentecost day in Acts 2. So up front, I'll give you my title, which also serves as my SBS. My title is The Holy Spirit, What It Is and What It Isn't. The Holy Spirit, What It Is and What It Isn't. And I'm going to work backwards from that statement, and I'm going to cover first what the Holy Spirit is not, because there is some confusion in the religious world about the Holy Spirit. For example, they believe the Holy Spirit is a co-equal member of the Godhead, in other words, the Trinity. And we know that that's not true. We've never taught the Trinity. From the beginning of the work, the modern era of the work, we have never taught the Trinity doctrine. Years ago, I was talking to a person, and I told this person that I had started listening to Mr. Armstrong on the radio. And he said, yeah, I've heard of him. He said, I used to listen to him on the radio back then. It was mainly radio. And he said, then I found out he didn't believe in the Trinity. And he said, I didn't listen anymore. So that's like lots of people. The Trinity is a sort of a litmus test. If an organization doesn't believe in a Trinity, then that organization is way off base. So what I would like to do today is to read you some some quotes, and most of these quotes I've looked them up for myself online and in a different reference works, but most of these we have in our own booklets. I think of the booklet on the Trinity, I believe that's where I copied these from. So here's one. It says, the Harper's Collins Encyclopedia of Catholicism states, today, however, scholars generally agree that there is no doctrine of the Trinity as such in either the Old Testament or the New Testament. And that's quite an admission. Of course, that's absolutely true. Look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you won't find the word Trinity for sure. You won't find the teaching. Martin Luther, who was a big figure in the Protestant, Reformation, I guess. Anyway, he was a big player in the Protestant movement, and I'm quoting now from our publication, who initiated the Protestant Revolution, admitted that. And then this is a quote, the name Trinity is nowhere to be found in the Holy Scriptures, but here's the important thing that he said, and is correct, but has been conceived and invented by men. And that's true. The idea of a Trinity was conceived and invented by men. One more quote. This is from the Oxford Companion to the Bible. And again, I got this from our publication. Because the Trinity is, this actually is a quote from Dr. Bruce Metzger, who I'm very familiar with. I've read lots of his stuff. He was a Princeton professor who taught New Testament. And when he was alive, he was considered one of the world's foremost authorities on manuscripts and Greek. So he usually knows what he's talking about. Because the Trinity, here's what he says, because the Trinity is such an important part of later, emphasizing the word later, Christian doctrine, it is striking that the term does not appear in the New Testament. Likewise, the developed concept of three co-equal partners in the Godhead found in later creedal formulations cannot be clearly detected within the confines of the canon, that is, the scriptures. And I had a thought I was going to add about Dr. Betts here, but what I wanted to say is he is a Trinitarian. He believes the Trinitarian teaching is correct, but he admits it's not in the Bible. It's interesting that the real church, the real New Testament church, did not know anything about the Trinity, and I'll show that a little later. And also, the Apostle Paul knew absolutely nothing about a Trinity. And we can prove that by, I'll just quote one verse, which is the opening, in the opening few verses of 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3. And this same salutation is in every 13 books that he wrote, every one. And it contains this, and some of them contain a little more. But this is the basic substance of what he says. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3, he says to the Corinthians, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Why didn't he mention "and the Holy Spirit"? Well, of course, you know why he didn't mention it. He doesn't know anything about the Trinity teaching, so he didn't mention. And you have to realize that the Apostle Paul wrote about 24% of the New Testament, and then you add that to what Luke wrote, and together they wrote one-third of the New Testament, and neither one of them mentioned the Trinity or anything like the Trinity. History shows us that the supposed church, and you know what I mean by that, didn't start teaching the Trinity, although they finalized the teaching on the Trinity in 325 AD at the Council of Nicaea. And up to that time, I guess they were still arguing about it or whatever. But anyway, they finalized it in 325 AD that the Trinity was the official doctrine of the church in their eyes. So let me read, let me quote one more thing from our document, the Trinity booklet, I believe. This is from the Fundamental Beliefs of the Church. And here's what UCG teaches about the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of God and of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the power of God and the Spirit of life eternal. And that's from our Fundamental Beliefs. So that's what the Holy Spirit is not. The Holy Spirit is not part of the Trinity. Now let me go into the next part, what the Holy Spirit is. Now, I can't be comprehensive about this because this is a sermonette, so I'm limited to how much I can cover. But the Holy Spirit is a gift, and it is the greatest gift God could give to mankind. I don't think anybody in the church would argue with that statement, although that's my statement. I mean, it's absolutely the greatest gift that we have ever been given is God's Holy Spirit. And that's why there's a holy day that we celebrate every year because of what happened there in Acts 2. Jeremiah 10:23, you don't have to turn there. It says, "Oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." So what is Jeremiah saying? He's saying, we don't really know how to live. We really don't. We need help. We need guidance. We need lots of help and guidance. Galatians 5:22 lists the fruits of the Spirit. And I know you've read this many times, but every time I read it, I wonder, am I really living up to all of those fruits? Do I really have those fruits? Am I working on developing those fruits that the Spirit gives me? Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." And and when you read that, you have to self-reflect. Do I have the love that I should have? Do I have the joy? Do I have the peace? Do I have long-suffering like I should have? Well, we all need to contemplate that from time to time. But the gift of the Holy Spirit actually serves another purpose, actually serves lots of other purposes, but I want to just zero in on one verse, a couple of verses actually. If you want to turn there, I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21 and 22. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22. And Paul writes, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God." Did you know that you've been anointed? You know, not just the ministers and the deacons, but everybody has been anointed. And of course, that anointing is with the Holy Spirit. Then verse 22 says, "Who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." I think New King James says deposit, but a guarantee, it's the same thing. So think of that. We've been anointed, we've been sealed, and we have been given a guarantee. And that's what the Spirit serves in us, as a guarantee that God is going to live up to his promise and give us everything he has promised. So let me conclude this way. But the Holy Spirit is not one of the Godhead in the form of an entity. It just isn't. That's clearly easy to prove. I recall back in our former association when they were trying to cram this stuff down our throat. I went to the library. The internet wasn't much used back then. I went to the library and I think I checked out 5 books on the Trinity. And I took them home and I read every one. No, that's not true. I didn't. What I did is I read the first portion of all 5 books, and they all said the same thing. The Trinity is not in the Bible. It came from outside. And of course it came from Greek philosophy, and some of those philosophers you wouldn't want to have as a neighbor, as, you know, Plato and Socrates and so on. But anyway, the Holy Spirit is not an entity of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the essence of God. That's the term Mr. Weber likes, the essence of God, which is the greatest gift God ever gave to mankind. So let us rejoice in the gift that God has given us, and I'll see all of you tomorrow as we celebrate the day of Pentecost, the anniversary of that coming of the Holy Spirit.